You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
We are here with Dans from Darts. Dans, how are you?
Kia ora. I'm good, thank you.
It's good, good. How's your day been?
It has been extremely busy, but a good kind of busy.
Oh, that's good.
Okay, that's good.
We love a good kind of busy. It makes the ice cream at the end of the day worth it.
Exactly.
So your band Darts has just put out your sophomore album, Dangerous Day to Be a Cold One. Can you tell us about the inspiration behind the album?
Essentially, we wanted to make a pretty chill, or more chill than last time, album, but very New Zealand focused, I guess, or themes of New Zealand. So kind of summary, also still a little political, but just kind of capturing small town New Zealand into an album, and I hope that's what we did, but yeah.
Are you from a small town?
Yes, I split my time growing up between Te Araha and Pairo, which is kind of Bay of Plenty, Waikato area.
Oh, I'm from Hamilton, so, kind of.
Oh, there you go.
Close-ish.
The Darts' debut album, The Band from Wellington, New Zealand, was a success and it reached number one on our country's album charts. How did this success influence your approach, the second album?
We wanted to definitely go for number one on both the New Zealand album charts and the overall album charts. Mm. we just kind of really pushed hard. But I guess with the singles coming out and the kind of hype behind it, and most of the songs not being known, we just sold more copies and we got number one on both, which was really cool, really exciting. We celebrated quite hard that night.
Good.
But yeah, it was shocking, but kind of goes to show, the support we have from the Darts fans and all the mahi we put in kind of paying off felt really good.
Yeah, that is so fun. So your songwriting process captures a lot of funny moments and then turns them into these anthemic songs. Can you share any memorable anecdotes or moments from the creation of the album?
One song came to us when we were in Dunedin a while, maybe a couple of years ago. We were walking up a very, very steep hill. I don't know which one because there's a few of them.
Doesn't narrow it down, really.
If I remember the street name, I would have told you, but I can't remember for the life of me. But we were trying, Airbnb was at the top of this hill, and for some reason we decided to walk instead of getting an Uber. And there was also a liquor store at the top of the hill. I don't know if that helps narrow it down. I think there's also many of those.
There's quite a lot of those too.
But halfway up the hill, I was kind of complaining about the fact that we had to walk up this hill. And then our guitarist brother, who was with us at the time, said, he was just turning to me, he was like, "Oh, come on, we're earning the first." I paused in the spot and shook him, and I was like, "That's a genius start song that hasn't been written yet." And text Clark, our bassist, straight away and was like, "I need you to write a song called Earn the Thirst as a sports anthem." And he was like, "Oh, okay." And so yeah, I guess that song has its origins.
Yeah, I love how it's "Oh, yep, cool, got it in the bag."
Yeah.
So besides from earning the literal thirst after walking up that hill, what was yours and kind of the other members of Darts's snack or during the process of making this album? Did you have a bag of Oreos that you took into the booth? Did you eat banana lollies? What was your snack of choice there?
We had a charcuterie board one day.
Ooh, fancy.
Yeah, we went full out with a charcuterie board. It was really good. Crispy made some risotto, I think, one of the days as well. Apart from that, it was just there was it's a really, really good sandwich place that was down the road from the recording studio, Good Boy Sandwiches, and we just ate so many of those. And just obviously drank Lion Brown as well. So it was a very unhealthy process. Probably not the smartest, but that's just
Brown.
Us to a D.
No one has ever come on here and been I had a charcuterie board. But when you go to number one on your first album, I think charcuterie board's right up there.
Yeah, you earned it.
Yeah, I think if you're aiming for number one, you've got to live and record it's a number one.
It's what is it called? Manifesting? You manifest the vibe of the top, the chart, top of the charts.
Exactly. We had a vision board in the studio, and on that vision board was a charcuterie board and number one, among other things.
That is, yeah, number one charcuterie board. I love that. That's a bit of me, actually.
That is
snack
pretty, yeah.
Motivated.
So you've made a few music videos for this album, and they were filmed in some small towns. What was the inspiration between filming in those towns, and like, how important was it to you to show those places off?
I think we kind of wanted to catch the different eras throughout the video. So in the first was the first one that was meant to be 70s kind of themed. And it was filmed on like a 8mm camera. But I think the small towns part kind of had to be, was quite important to the era that we wanted to capture. So love it. The first two music videos, In the Thirst and Learning to Drive a Dad, were both filmed in Te Araha, kind of on the outskirts and in the town a little bit. And I thought that, you know, everyone expects us to film around Wellington and stuff. So I thought taking it out of, right into like rural Waikato, have a much more kind of visually, and it's just stunning around those areas as well, especially on captured on film. So it was nice to get those done.
Yeah, that's so, what I say is that, you know, people who come to New Zealand, they only go to like Auckland, Wellington, these big cities. I was like, actually, some of the best gems are those small towns. Who did you actually learn to drive with your dad?
I had like two to three driving lessons with my dad, but they were just very stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a relatable universal experience, I think.
Mine was my mother.
I cut it.
Yeah. Yeah, the little, like, manual on somebody's, like, farm with your dad, like, yelling at you. That was...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a high-stress situation when the dad's... The person teaching you is already nervous, and then you're nervous, and it's just too stressful.
Yeah.
It's very stressful.
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
No, mine was my mother still, passenger seat drives. I can see her foot hitting the metaphor, like the imaginary brake.
Yeah,
and I was like, no.
So, you've just put out this album. Can you tell us what is next for Darts?
We've got like 8 to 10 weeks of touring that started last weekend, which takes us across New Zealand and England and Wales and Germany and Australia, and then so that's going to be our next 2 months. And then I think after 8 months with each other's company, I think we'll probably need like a couple months off, and I think we're going to go back to writing album number 3. It'll be the next move.
Wow, grind never stops.
No. Yeah. Oh, that's so awesome. Is there any like places on this tour that you're really excited to play? Like, you know, I'm sure every night's exciting, but like for you personally, is there something that's like, this is it? Like, this will be
in New Zealand. Last weekend was probably the one I was looking forward to most. We did Nelson, Blenheim, and Takaka, which are areas I've never really been to, and they were just so lovely and so regional. It was kind of quite sweet and cute.
Aww,
the turnout was really nice as well. This weekend's going to be really fun. We're coming down your ways and then up to hometown Hamilton, so I think I'm looking forward to those as well.
Yeah.
And then I've never been overseas or to Europe, so obviously those areas are going to be very exciting for me.
Exciting.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Well, best of luck with the tour, and thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us today.
Not a problem.
Coming up next, we have Darts with Dangerous Day to Be a Cold One on Radio 1, 91 FM.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.